are two possible explanations for that. One is that I had been immediately impressed by that young man and was pleased to watch his growing understanding of the case. I wanted to guide him, but at the same time allow him to draw his own conclusions. This could only be good for him.
I see. Yeah. And the other possible explanation?
That is that you, my dear doctor, were right all along. I was not in full possession of my normal astuteness and had simply forgotten. Till we meet again in London, Watson. Good day to you.
Good day, Holmes.
Take care, my friend.
In The Reigate Squires, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Peter Davison as Inspector Forrester. Alec Cunningham was played by Struan Roger, Mr. Cunningham by Roger Hammond, and Mr. Acton by Terence Edmund. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Reigate Squires was dramatized for radio by Robert Forrest and directed by Patrick Rayner.
It is said that the past creates the present and disfigures the future. That may not always be necessarily so, but given the habits of the criminal fraternity, it is a dictum worth bearing in mind, as is the Latin phrase, latit anguis in herba. There is a snake hidden in the grass. So, in matters of murder, strong footwear is essential.
Oh, watch where you're going, boy!
Sorry, Mr. Phillips. Busy tonight.
Friday always is. Lots of money to wager.
Service here!
Coming, sir! Old fool, showing off in front of those two painted tarts.
Yeah, he'll be wiser in the morning.
And Paula.
How's that pair in the private room?
All right. The bearded fella sank two bottles.
Well, then he won't be winning much, will he? What? Well?
Oh,
Lord!
Oh, what is it about Friday night? Come on!
Oh, Lord! The bearded fella!
Looks like he drew first but forgot to fire, eh?
Are you all right, sir?
The window!
Oh, yeah. Nipped out here. There he goes!
Hey! I've got him! Give a hand here. He's...
I'll take the revolver.
Well, would you believe it? The police have actually caught somebody. Mind you, if he hadn't tripped over that pile of rubbish.
They've got him, sir. Under arrest.
Serves him right. Serves him.
Oh, Lord.
Well, at least he died happy.
The Three Garrydebs by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by David Ashton. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Lou Hirsch as John Garrydeb and James Taylor as Nathan Garrydeb. The Three Garrydebs.
A rare event to witness. Watson, bursting into song.
Oh, hardly bursting, Holmes.
Nonetheless, to what do we owe this unexpected lyricism?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Huh? Early summer? Perhaps the sap rising?
Don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, it may be rising somewhere. The forecast is for a fine day.
Yes, and lovers, no doubt, will be gambling in the park.
I believe it's lambs that gamble.
Yes, and lovers? Lurk, I suppose.
Whatever. I'm glad to see that you have finally risen.
Like the sap.
Yes, like the sap. I may take it that your sojourn in bed is over.
Ah, you know my habits, Watson. When I have nothing to do, I quite often do nothing.
I wondered if you might be pondering the wisdom of your decision to refuse the knighthood.
No, I have not.
Pity. Sir Sherlock Holmes. Oh, it has a fine ring.
I need no honour to serve my country, Watson. And the reason for my Lazarus-like arising is contained in the letter which I received this very morning.
A case?
Yes, possibly. Ah, yes. Nothing like coffee to stimulate the brain cells. Have you ever come across the name Garideb?
No, can't say I have.
Well, if you can lay your hand on a Garideb, there's a deal of money in it for you, my friend.
Can you get this thing to go any faster?
Not unless I kill the horse, sir.
How about you half kill it? Well, do your best, my man, because time is of the essence. Yes, indeed. Time is of the essence.
Here we are, Holmes. In the directory. Only the one, but here it is.
Let me see. Yes. Nathan Garideb, 136 Little Rider Street. Sorry to disappoint you, Watson, but that man's the writer of my letter. You want another to match him. Yes?
A gentleman to see you, sir. His card.
Thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Yes. Please show him up.
Very good, sir.
Watson?
Thank you. John Garideb, Counselor at Law, Kansas, USA. They're coming out of the woodwork.
Ah, but this gentleman is also in the plot already. You know, I did not expect to see him quite so soon. Not quite so soon.
Mr. Holmes! Very like your pictures, I must say, sir. Oh, and you must be Watson.
Dr. Watson.
John Garideb, American born and bred. At your service, sirs. I believe you may have had a letter, Mr. Holmes, for my namesake, Nathan.
Indeed. But pray sit down. We have much to discuss. Please.
Thank you. I thank you, sir. Most hospitable.
Yes, born and bred, but surely you've been in this country for some time.
Why say that, Mr. Holmes?
The shoulder cut of your coat, the toes of your boots, the whole outfit is English, is it not?
Oh, yes, one of your little tricks, eh? Well, business recently brought me here, so my outfit, as you say, is nearly all London, but I guess we didn't meet to discuss the cut of my socks. Time is of the essence, Mr. Holmes. Can we get down to business?
Patience, sir. Tell me, why did Mr. Nathan Garideb not come here with you?
Why did he ever drag you into it at all? Professional business between two gentlemen and one needs calling a detective.
No reflection on you, I'm sure, Mr. Garideb. Simply zeal on his part to gain an end which is equally vital to both of you. You may have need of special information. I have access to that sort of thing. It was natural that he should apply to me.
Oh, well, if you put it like that...
That's exactly how I put it.
It's just that when he told me, I felt as if my honor had been put in question, and I felt real bad about it, so I came right away to put you straight.
And in order to put us straight, perhaps we had better have a clear account of the affair from your own lips, as it were. My friend Watson here knows nothing of the details.
Need he know?
We usually work together. Two heads, you know.
Beg pardon?
Being better than one.
Ah, yes, right. We have that saying, too. Okay, I'll keep it short and simple if I can. If you came from Kansas, Mr. Holmes, you would know of Alexander Hamilton Garideb. Made his money in real estate, and then in the wheat pit of Chicago. He was rich beyond your wildest dreams.
A sort of Croesus in Kansas?
Maybe. He took a great pride in the queerness and singularity of his name, and like me, he had neither kith nor kin. I was at law in Topeka when we met up, and he was tickled pink to find another one of the same. Find me some more, says he. You be a lawyer, you search. I told him I had better things to do than go hiking round the world on a Garideb hunt. Nonetheless, said he, that is exactly what you will do if things work out as I plan. There was a powerful lot of meaning to those words, as I was soon to discover, for he died within a year of saying them, and he left a will behind. It was the queerest will I have ever set eyes on.
The property in Kansas is to be divided into three parts, and providing that three male adult Garadebs can be found and properly attested, they will inherit $5 million. According to the American, $5 million each. How much is that in pounds, Mrs. Saunders?
I'm sure I don't know, Mr. Garadeb. Now, will you please eat up your boiled eggs, sir?
No, I'm far too. He gave up his job, you know, the American, to search the world. But no success until me, Nathan Garadeb. Now, all we need is one more, just one more. Ah, why don't I have any brothers?
I'm sure I don't know, sir. Shall I clear away the breakfast things, then?
Yes, be careful on the carpet there, see?
Yes, I can see, sir. A mess.
Fossiliferous calcifications, Mrs. Saunders. My fossils. And I haven't finished with their reordering. Essential. Absolutely essential.
Essential indeed.
Oh, think of what I could do. My collection. My life's work. $5 million.
He's a strange old coot, but he's a Garadeb.
The only one in the directory.
Where I found him, that's right. So we have a vacancy, Mr. Holmes. A $5 million vacancy. If you can help fill it, we'll pay any charges.
I assume you've advertised in the agony columns of the newspapers, etc.
Yes, of course. No replies.
None at all?
Not a thing.
Dear me. What do you think of all this, Watson?
Most curious problem.
One to which I shall devote the requisite attention. By the way, Mr. Garadeb, how strange that you should come from Topeka. I had a correspondent there. He's dead now, lad. Dr. Lysander Starr. Do you remember him, Watson?
Yes, clearly.
He was the mayor there in 1890, I believe. Did you ever cross paths?
Of course, good old Dr. Starr. In Topeka, his name is still honored, Mr. Holmes. Well, much to do, little time to do it, and I'll say goodbye to you now, gentlemen. I must on with my search. Perhaps we may report any progress to each other within a day or two. I bid you good day. Good day to one and all.
Good day. Good day to one and all.
Lysander Starr, eh?
Yes, I wondered if you'd recognize the name.
Take away an R and add a K to the second name, and you have Lysander Stark from The Adventure of the Engineer's Thumb.
A murderer, a counterfeiter, and certainly no mayor of Topeka. Touch this Garadeb fellow where you will. He is false. There have been no advertisements in the agony columns. You know I miss nothing there. And did you notice his coat?
Well, as you remarked, English cut.
Frayed at the elbow and trousers bagged at the knee with at least a year's wear, and yet by his own account he's a provincial American recently landed in London. The rest is, no doubt, a rigmarole of lies.
What's his game, then?
I don't know. But behind that chubby exterior, I sense a shrewd and possibly dangerous man. I think it's time to ring up and make an appointment with our other correspondent to see if he's fraudulent also. Mr. Nathan Garadeb.
Nathan, wasn't he a prophet in the Bible?
Well, there I bow to your superior knowledge, Watson.
Well, that makes a nice change.
Yes, can you get me Paddington 1314, please? Thank you. Yes, we have another little saying, Mr. Garadeb. Truth, like murder, will out.
Oh, Bert! Give me back my hat!
Come and get it.
I will not.
Then you shan't have it.
Give me back my hat!
All right. Here, come on.
No tricks now.
On my honour.
Oh, let me go. You promised no trick.
This isn't a trick. This is nice.
Oh, no, don't. Those men are watching.
I'll let them, miserable-looking pair. Cheer them up a bit.
Oh, come here, you.
Courting couples remind me of nothing more nor less than pigeons. The male puffs out his chest and the female runs round in circles.
It's just part of life, Holmes. Not a bad part, either.
To be in love is to lose one's individuality. One merely becomes subsumed into nature's biological imperatives.
There's more to it than that.
Is there? Enlighten me.
Ah, warmth, companionship, fragrance.
Fragrance?
Women are fragrant.
So's a chestnut blossom, and one needn't marry it. I wonder if those two cooing doves realise that just across the road from them is where the gallows used to put on his little exhibitions. The Tyburn Tree. Notice the nameplate. How discolored it is.
Hmm. Been there quite a time, I'd say.
Yes, well, Garrett Deb would seem to be his real name, at any rate. Ah, Mrs. Saunders.
Yes?
We spoke on the telephone. My name is Holmes.
Oh, yes. Mr. Garadeb is expecting you. Come in, if you please, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When I rang, you said Mr. Garadeb was asleep.
Well, yes, an afternoon nap. All this excitation has tired him. He tires easily, I'm afraid.
How long have you been in his employ?
Nearly 5 years.
Ah, quite a time, then.
I'm a widow, sir. Time means little to me.
Not much fragrance there, Watson.
Ah, Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson. Please, please come in. Welcome to my humble... thank you, Mrs. Saunders.
Yes, sir.
Come in, gentlemen. Do be careful. Your feet, the fossils, not quite finished yet.
Not finished?
Categorizing.
Ah, I see.
Are these skulls real?
No, plaster, unfortunately. The real ones, well, such as Neanderthal there, yes. Hard to come by, eh? Hard to come by.
Dr. Watson here has a professional interest in bones.
Oh, from the Paleolithic period, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Ah, now, this may interest you, Mr. Holmes. Mm-hmm. The coin here. Just cleaned it up.
Let me see. Ah, yes. Syracusan. Well, the best style.
Some prefer the Alexandrian school, but I am of the opinion... Oh, please sit down, gentlemen. The Japanese vase, Dr. Watson, it can go somewhere.
Oh, yes. Perhaps now, over here.
Now, what was I the opinion of?
I've no idea.
You collect insects as well?
Yes, bees, butterflies, spiders, all sorts.
Yes, and all beautifully mounted. Indeed, a labour of love. Yes, even bumblebees. Yeah, I think I know this fellow. Yes. Bombus alpinus?
Yes, from Scandinavia. Yeah. Must have been freezing, poor chap.
Yes, this one. Yes, this one, the archenemy of the rose.
The leafcutter bee.
Megacyle centuncularis.
Well done.
I didn't know you were an expert on bees, Holmes.
I have a passing knowledge.
Well, please, sit. You see before you my little interests. My doctor lectures me about never going out, but I hate to leave them.
You never leave here?
Seldom. Quiet life. So this news came as a tremendous shock. Pleasant, but tremendous. One to find. One more Garadeb.
Indeed.
I have no male relatives, unfortunately. Females are disqualified. But there must be someone somewhere. I heard that you handle strange cases, Mr. Holmes. That's why I sent to you. Can you help me?
We shall see.
So much on the market I am unable to purchase for want of a few £100. Think what I could do with $5 million. Why, I could have the basis of a national collection. National!
This American gentleman, up to this week, you were unaware of his existence.
Yes, till last Tuesday. Oh, he came bouncing in here like a rubber ball.
Yes, that just about describes him.
Has he asked for any money from you?
No. Never.
You see no possible object he has in view?
None, except for what he states.
Are there any items of great value in here?
Oh, dear me, no. It's a good collection, but not a valuable one.
So you have no fear of burglars?
Not the least.
How long have you been in these rooms?
Almost 5 years.
Mr. Garadeb... Mr. Garadeb.
Great news, sir. Hmm? You are a rich man.
He's here, sir.
My congratulations.
What? Thank you, Mrs. Saunders. Beg your pardon.
And Mr. Holmes, sorry to have put you to the trouble. Read this. Read this and rejoice.
Watson, what do you do the honors?
Certainly. Howard Garadeb.
Note the name.
Constructor of agricultural machinery, binders, reapers, hand ploughs, buckboards, and all other appliances. Estimates for artesian wells apply to Royal Buildings, Aston.
Aston, Birmingham.
Howard Garadeb. Glorious!
That's the place. I opened up an inquiry there and was sent this advertisement from the local paper. I have telegraphed the man and told him to expect you, Mr. Nathan, by tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock.
Me? Why me?
I appeal to you, gentlemen. Is it not the wise course? Who would believe me, a wandering American with a fantastic tale?
Indeed.
Whereas you, sir, British through and through, solid reference. He's bound to take notice.
But,
besides, time is of the essence. I have much to do tomorrow. Kansas must be informed. Wheels must be set in motion. If there's any problems, Mr. Nathan, I will follow you up. I give you my word.
But I've not made such a journey in years.
I have figured your connections. You have to leave here by noontime. All you have to do is see the man, explain the matter, and get a sworn affidavit of his existence. Simple.
But Birmingham... Well, it's way up in the Midlands, isn't it? I mean, the Midlands.
By the Lord! I've come all the way from the heartland of America. It is surely little enough for you to go a few hundred miles to push this matter through.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, what do you think?
I believe our friend is right.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sure your presence will help convince this man, and you must remember what's at stake.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course, my collection, the Holy Grail. Yes, of course. I shall do it.
That's the spirit. I'll call tomorrow and see you off on the train. Tomorrow is the day of reckoning, and the reckoning will be a damn fine one. Good day to you, gentlemen. Good day to one and all.
An energetic race, the Americans.
Yes.
Ah, Mrs. Saunders. Your employer is going to be a very rich man.
So you said, sir.
Very rich. Who knows? Perhaps you may share in the good fortune.
In dollars, I believe.
That's right. It's a strong currency. Welcome everywhere.
I'm sure it is.
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Saunders. Welcome everywhere.
That's better. Nothing like a cup of tea for restoring balance to an unsteady world.
Holmes prefers coffee for the stimulation.
Oh, I need none of that.
You know, it is an extraordinary collection you have here. I wish I could look it over sometime.
Well, I would show you now,
no,
but...
No, now you must rest. Is it just that odd pockets of knowledge have a habit of coming in useful? Hey, what?
Mm. Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
I wonder, perhaps tomorrow, when you're away, I could look in then?
You would be most welcome, Mr. Holmes. Great honour.
Ah, you're sure it's not a...
No, not at all. Now, let me see, it's Mrs. Saunders' half day tomorrow, but I have an extra key somewhere. Now, where is it? Where? Great honour. Yes, it's hanging on that nail over there, Mr. Holmes, by the bees.
Oh, yes. Bees. They shall be my first port of call. Are you sure you don't mind?
Not at all. What about you, Dr. Watson? Are you an interested party?
Oh, wherever Holmes goes, you generally find me, tagging along.
And now we really must be going and not tax you further. Oh, by the way, who is your house agent?
Holloway and Steele in the Edgware Road, but why?
Architecture is another passion of mine. I was wondering, is this house Queen Anne or Georgian?
Georgian, beyond doubt.
Really? Yeah. Well, I should have thought a little earlier. No. Come, Watson, time to tag along.
Thank you for the tea, sir.
Oh, it is I who must thank you. Mr. Holmes, I'm so grateful. So, well, thank you so very much for your help in this matter.
Well, up to this moment, I've been very little help at all, Mr. Garadeb. Up to this moment. Mrs. Hudson has surpassed herself. I would describe her cooking as honest. And what could be more honest than steak and kidney pie?
Nothing like home cooking.
Indeed. If you'd be so good as to pass me the matches, Watson.
Gladly. Cigar for me, I think.
Yes. By the way, did you notice anything curious about that advertisement of Howard Garadeb?
Yeah. The word plough was misspelt. P-L-O-W.
You improve all the time, Watson.
Well, there's much to improve, I'm sure.
Yes, P-L-O-W. Bad English, but good American.
Mm.
The word buckboard's American also.
Ah, right.
And artesian wells. Surely more common with them than us.
Exactly. It's a typical American advertisement purporting to come from an English firm. So, what do you make of that?
Our lawyer friend must have put it in himself.
In order to lure our good old fossil up to Birmingham.
On a wild goose chase, poor fellow.
Yes. I wondered to tell him, but thought it better to clear the stage by letting him go.
But why? Why take all this trouble?
Remember the case of the Red-Headed League?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Something of the same ilk, perhaps.
While the cat's away.
I'll visit the house agent in the morning, and then I have another little errand.
I, too, have some business to attend.
Oh, of course, Watson, of course. Yes, you have your own path to follow.
Now and again, I believe it may be allowed.
Though the mind delights in its own solitude and revels in its lonely pursuits, yet perhaps there may be a little more to life than that.
Only a little?
Perhaps. Friendship always close to hand. My pipe and my watch, Smith.
Yes, well, I shall try never to be too far away.
Yes. Mr. Garrideb moved into the house approximately 5 years ago. A model tenant, I am bound to say.
And before that?
Before that, it had been let for a year. A previous tenant, a Mr. Waldron. Yes, that fellow.
Obviously he made an impression on you.
Yes, not necessarily of the best kind. I never felt comfortable in his presence.
Why?
A sense of violence emanating from him.
Did he give notice?
No. Strange, that. One morning he had just vanished. I may be maligning the man, Mr. Holmes. He paid, promptly enough, crisp new pound notes in advance. One cannot argue with good money.
And yet is not money the root of all evil?
The love of money is the root of all evil, Mr. Holmes.
Of course, I stand corrected. And where would we be without love, Mr. Holloway? In all its various forms.
This is very popular, sir.
Is it really?
Very popular.
Yes, I'm sure.
Quality, sir. Quality is so very important. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
Here, let me show you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There it is. Isn't it pretty? And the way it catches the light, see? Elegant, too. Elegance is also important.
Yes, elegance. How much would that be?
A mere £20, sir.
20?
Well, it's a once-in-a-lifetime buy.
Not necessarily.
Oh, I see. You make a habit of it, sir.
No, not at all. Right, I'll take it. Thank you.
I'll just find it a little box.
Please do. Didn't I see you last night?
Beg pardon?
In the park, with a young man chasing hats.
Oh. No. You couldn't. I mean, not me. I don't wear hats.
Don't you?
No.
Must have been your sister.
I don't have a sister.
Oh, that's a pity. No hat, no sister.
I'll go and get your bill, sir.
Oh, it was you all right, my girl. And I don't know about the quality, but there was precious little elegance involved.
No.
Will you be requiring any more files, Mr. Holmes?
No, thank you. These are quite enough to be going on with.
Inspector Lestrade apologises for not being able to deal with you personally.
He's supplied the permission. That is sufficient.
He has a big case on his hands at the moment.
Yes, the Belgravia robberies. Yes.
Oh, you know about them, sir?
One reads the papers.
Inspector Lestrade reckons it must be an international gang.
Does he really?
We think we've got the matter in hand.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Aha!
What is it, sir?
Yes, this chubby little face here rings a bell in my memory.
Shall I pass word to the inspector, sir?
As of yet, there's nothing to tell, as of yet, but I may have something for him shortly. This is more serious than I thought.
Much more serious, Watson. There he was, where he belonged, at Scotland Yard in the Rogues Gallery, staring up at me in all his dubious glory, our American friend, James Winter, alias Moorcroft, alias Killer Evans.
Watson, are you listening?
No. Oh, yes, yes, of course. Sorry, wool gathering.
Well, gather it some other time. These are his facts. Killer Evans, aged 46, native of Chicago. Got into trouble in the States and escaped the penitentiary through political influence. Arrived London, 1893. Killed a man over cards in a nightclub in the Waterloo Road. Dead man identified as Roger Prescott, a famous or infamous coiner and forger. There was a degree of self-defense involved, so Evans got off comparatively lightly. He was released from prison last year. Not a man to meet in the dark. Carries arms, knows how to use them.
But what's his game?
Well, according to the house agent, the previous lodger to Nathan Garadeb was a certain Mr. Waldron, a tall, bearded man with dark features. The description fits that of Prescott exactly. When he died, the so-called Waldron vanished.
Same man. Must be.
Who used to live in the very room which our innocent old fossil devotes to his collection. At last, we have a link, you see.
Mm. And the next link?
We must go now and look for that. I'd better bring your revolver, Watson. I shall take my old favourite here.
In case our Wild West friend lives up to his nickname,
hmm? Well, according to his records, he's already killed 4 men. I have no wish for you and I to bring up the round half dozen.
Get out of the way, you!
Oh, dear me.
Hey, watch out, mister. They stop for nothing round our way.
Mm. What? Why?
It's a rough old area. Oh. Stand still round here and you end up with your throat cut and an empty purse.
I've been walking for hours.
Yeah, look it.
I'm searching for a man with farm machinery. Mr. Howard Garideb.
Garideb? Mm. Is that a joke name or something? There was an old tramp stayed for a few years. Maybe it was him, eh?
No, it's not possible. He must be here.
Mister, I've lived roundabouts for 29 years. There's no such person. And I would advise you how to get out of here while you're still in the one piece.
But what a pity. What a dreadful, dreadful pity. It can't be. It can't be true.
Well, suit yourself. None so blind as them that don't want to see.
No, I won't let it be. I won't. You see, I'll find him.
£20.
What?
Nothing. Nothing at all, Holmes.
You're in a world of your own these days.
My stomach's in a world of his own, I know that. We should have had lunch.
There was no time. Besides, hunger sharpens the senses.
Mm, does it really? How much longer do you think?
Not long. Mr. Evans is not noted for his patient ways.
I wish all those skulls weren't looking in this direction.
The vanishing nature of flesh, Watson. An unavoidable conclusion to life's little journey, the canker in the blossom. Even the prettiest woman under her rosy cheeks, the skull is merely waiting to be revealed. Shh, shh, shh. Yes, I thought that front lock would last long against a man of his abilities. The reckoning approaches, Watson.
There must be a cellar below.
Yes. Now keep your wits about you, Watson. This is no time to be wool gathering.
Well, isn't that just dandy?
Huh? Two pistols pointing at your head, Mr. Evans. And as you Americans would put it, if one don't get you, then the other one will.
Okay. Right. Guess you call the two, Mr. Holmes. Play me for a sucker from the first, I bet. Well, I hand it to you, sir. You have me beat fair and square.
Ah! My God, you treacherous... Watson, you're not hurt. For God's sake, say you're not hurt.
Oh, almost worth it.
What?
The pain. To see that look on your face. A great heart, as well as a great mind.
Nonsense. I was merely worried about the surgeon's bills. here. Let me look.
No, it's nothing, Holmes. I should know. It's just a scratch. Did you shoot the fella?
No, the second shot was his also, but I laid my revolver along the side of his head. Wild West, indeed. Watson, you are certain?
It's just a scratch, Holmes, honestly.
Very well. I'll take that revolver, my friend. By the Lord, it's as well for you. If you had killed Watson, you would not have left this room alive. Now... Whatever you say for yourself. Oh.
Say, what did you hit me with?
Justice.
There's a lot of money in this room, Mr. Holmes.
Yes. All forged.
You bet. Greatest counterfeiter London ever saw. That there printing press, that's Prescott's machine. And those bundles on it are 2,000 of his notes. Each one print marked 100 pounds. Fit to pass anywhere. Help yourselves, gentlemen. Let me walk out of here, and I guarantee not to look back.
Doesn't lack for nerve, does he, Holmes?
He has nerve enough to kill a man, that is certain. You shot Prescott, did you not?
Surely did. Though he pulled first on me, never could hold his drink. No man could ever tell a Prescott note from a Bank of England. We were in it together. About to flood these little beauties all over London, and then... Well, I got 5 years, and when I get out, I find this crazy boob of a bug hunter squatting right on top of 200,000 pounds. And I'm moving. Not moving an inch.
So, you wove this fairy tale around his peculiar name.
I had to shift him somehow. Could have put him away, I suppose, but I guess I'm just a soft-hearted guy.
Go ahead. Like a little lamb.
Say, what harm have I done anyway? I haven't used the press, not hurt the old stiff, not touched the money. Where do you get me?
Only attempted murder. Nothing too serious.
Careful, Holmes. As a physician, you make a very good detective.
This is more than a scratch, Watson. Just keep still.
Any stiller and I shall be dead. Perhaps I might finish the dressing and you... Ouch! Retire and observe from a distance.
Oh. Very well.
Now, easy does it.
Well, can I do nothing?
You may fetch me a cigar from my pocket. I rather think I've earned it.
Yes, I would agree with that.
There you are. All shipshape and Bristol fashion.
Can't find... Well, there's this, but it's rather a small box for cigars.
Oh, that, yes. Yes, I forgot. I meant to tell you...
Tell me what?
About the box.
Well, I'm sure it's no concern of mine, Watson. Back it goes. Unless, perhaps, it contains some exotic, deadly poison. Yes, here we are. Yeah. One cigar.
Thank you. Excellent.
I'm sure.
Well, yes. The box.
Yes?
It contains an engagement ring.
I see.
I intend to become engaged.
I assume that would be the object of the purchase. So, and who is the lucky lady?
Jean Chisholm. I mentioned her to you before. The young woman I met when I was... Well, not so young, really, but... Doctor's daughter.
Ah, yes. Yes, the doctor's daughter. Keep it in the profession, as it were.
I didn't mean to tell you before.
And I assume that having leapt the chasm of engagement, you will then hurtle towards the doom of matrimony.
Oh, really, Holmes?
Shake the dust of Baker Street from your shoes?
No, not for a while.
And leave me once more in perfect solitude.
Not perfect. I'll be popping back now and again. to make a nuisance of myself.
That, Watson, you will never be. Hello. Ah, Inspector Lestrade. I trust that you and the CID are properly grateful that Watson and I have saved you from a veritable plague of forgeries. Indeed you ought. Now, how goes the Belgravia case?
What?
But why? Good Lord. Well, thank you, Inspector.
What is it, Holmes?
A twist in the tale, Watson. A twist in the tale. How unexpected life can be. Yes, indeed. The skull beneath the skin.
Mr. Radmore, you know they're not your biscuits. Leave them be.
They are. They're mine.
They are not. Now give them back to Mrs. Smith. Give them back right now.
I cannot stand these places, Watson. Full of people life has left behind.
They serve a purpose.
Must extend senility. I would cheerfully jump from the cliffs of Dover rather than end up here. Which is his room?
Third on the left, the nurse said.
This one. Abandon hope, all ye who enter in.
Oh, you mustn't blame yourself, Holmes.
Had I not encouraged him for my own ends to go on that journey, he would not be here. Well, no point in delaying further. Mrs. Saunders, I didn't expect...
I came up by the early train. The service is tolerable.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So, how is the patient?
He comes back to us now and again. But the doctors say his condition will not improve. In fact, the opposite.
I see.
Always had a fragile side to him, Mr. Garrideb. Yes, just like one of his precious eggshells. When he came back from Birmingham empty-handed, found the police all over the place and the whole story to be nothing but a forgery, his mind just went under.
I regret it. Bitterly.
He lived too much on his own. Like me, it's not healthy solitude. Well, goodbye, gentlemen. There's silver to clean and carpets to sweep. Life, as they say, must go on.
Yes, as they say. Goodbye, Mrs. Saunders.
Goodbye.
Mr. Holmes, is that you? Have you found him? Have you found him, Holmes?
Who?
The third Garrideb, of course. Have you found him?
No.
Were you?
Not yet.
You must. I know you will. Won't he, Dr. Watson?
If anyone can, Holmes will.
The cupboard over there, Mr. Holmes. Quickly, open.
Ah, the bee collection.
Had Mrs. Saunders bring them. She didn't want to. For you, a present.
Thank you.
You've been such a helper. You must find him, Holmes. Bombus opinus, the third Garrideb. Swear to me.
I swear. If he exists, I shall find him.
Splendid, splendid stuff. And yet, there was a pity. Somewhere, some kind of dreadful, dreadful pity. What was that, I wonder?
I'm afraid I don't know.
But you must know everything.
Oh, poor fellow. So far down that road, I doubt if he'll ever find his way back.
Yes, fate plays his little tricks on all of us.
And then stands sniggering in the corner like a schoolboy. Oh, well, perhaps the country air.
Bombus alpinus, eh? Perhaps I should retire after all, Watson, become a keeper of bees.
I doubt it.
And why not, pray?
Bees are too law-abiding, Holmes. You'd die of boredom.
You may be right, Watson. But on the other hand, who knows what fate has in store for
us? Look, Holmes, over there by the rock.
What?
Oh, yes. Vipera birus birus.
An adder. Oh, there he goes. Yeah. The sun must have brought him out.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Fate. Hmm. To you, Watson, it's like a sniggering schoolboy. To me, it seems.
Yes?
Like a snake in the grass.
In The Three Garadebs, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Lou Hirsch as Killer Evans and James Taylor as Nathan Garadeb. Mrs. Saunders was played by Margaret John, Holloway by Peter Whitman, the policeman by Paul Panting, Prescott by Gavin Muir, the shop assistant by Elaine Claxton, and Mrs. Hudson by Joan Matheson. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Three Garadebs was dramatized for radio by David Ashton and directed by Patrick Rayner.
Do you feel a creeping, shrinking sensation when you stand before the serpents in the zoo and see the slithery, gliding, venomous creatures with their deadly eyes and wicked, flattened faces? Well, that's how he impresses me. I have had to do with 50 murderers in my career, but none of them gave me the same feeling of revulsion. Heaven help the man, and still more the woman, whose secret and reputation come into the power of Milverton.
Charles Augustus Milverton by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Merrison as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring Peter Vaughan as Charles Augustus Milverton and Pauline Jameson as the Duchess. Charles Augustus Milverton.
Yes. You're a beautiful creature, aren't you? Hmm? Yes. Down you go. And now from one beautiful creature... Let me see. My dearest, you will, of course, have seen the announcements, but I could not rest until I had written you this personal note. How can I ever repay you for what you have done for me and for my husband?
Why are you reading this to me, sir?
The Duke is the happiest man on the planet. It has given him a sense of pride and self-respect, such as I thought he would never again enjoy.
I repeat, sir, I fail to see the relevance of this.
His heir is a fine, well-formed, healthy child, as I knew he would be. Do I need to continue? There is more specific content. No, I see that I do not.
How did you get that letter?
That is hardly the point, Your Grace.
Then pray come to the point, Mr. Milverton.
Oh, you disappoint me. How is your eminent husband? I hear that the Duke's health is failing.
That is no concern of yours.
Oh, but it is. I should hate to see him disturbed or shocked in any way at such a delicate time. His son is in excellent health, though, is he not? All England buzzes with word of his triumphs. Great things are promised. Great things.
You would not dare.
Pray do not insult me, Your Grace.
What do you want?
Ah, how very sensible of you. £10,000.
There was I, waiting at the church, waiting at the church, waiting at the church, when I found he left me in the lurch. Lord, how it did upset me blindly.
All at once he sent me round a note, is the very note. We could have stayed till the end, Aggie.
I've got to get back.
Yeah, I know. Come on, then.
Harry.
What?
Come here.
I thought you... Aggie!
Harry Logan, sometimes I wonder about you. What are you going to be like after we're married?
After we're married, we'll have somewhere a bit more private, won't we?
Well, I certainly hope so. I don't fancy doing it in the street.
Aggie!
God, Harry... What am I going to do with you? Come on. I really have got to get back. Hold me hand, at least.
All right.
Harry?
What?
You wouldn't do that to me, would you?
Do what?
Leave me at the church.
Of course not.
Good. You may not be much, but you're all I've got. Come on!
Very good. Lady Eva Brackwell.
Mr. Milverton, what is the meaning of this?
Ah, my lady, please. There's no call for incivility.
Incivility?
I'm sure we can conduct ourselves in a seemly fashion. Discretion is so important. I'm sure you agree.
Mr. Milverton, I did not come here to listen to cheap innuendo.
Ah, but you did come. An admission in itself, don't you think?
What proof have I that you actually possess these letters?
Oh, my dear Lady Eva.
Show me.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear me, no. That would hardly be sensible of me now, would it? Surely the fragment I sent you was proof enough.
I take it you are trying to blackmail me.
Oh, such an ugly word. But if you insist on it...
Well, it won't work. There's nothing in those letters to shame me.
Oh, really?
Unless you return them to me at once, I shall go straight to the police.
Is the light still on?
Master Study. He's got another visitor.
Well, this time of night?
Yeah, sometimes. Oh, damn. That means the gates will be unlocked.
Well, what's the matter with that?
I was looking forward to you giving me a leg up over the wall. I know. Aggie. Look, I gotta go. If I'm caught out the house this late, I'll get the push.
Might be a good thing. What you've told me about his nibs in there.
Harry, shh. You think jobs grow on trees?
He sounds like a nasty bit of work to me. What's he do, anyway?
He doesn't do anything. He's rich, isn't he?
So who are these visitors, then?
Harry Logan, you ask too many questions.
You're afraid of him. Aggie, you're afraid of him.
Do you think I wouldn't?
Oh, my dear young lady, of course you won't. The police. What would be the profit? I suppose I might spend an uncomfortable week or two in prison. But what's that compared with your absolute ruin?
Then I shall simply tell my fiancé everything.
Oh, I admire your courage.
What do you mean?
Oh, surely you don't imagine that I embark on these transactions without first carrying out my research? I know of the Earl's pride, to say nothing of his temper. His reaction to your little confession should be most interesting. You will pay me £7,000 by the 14th, or there will most certainly be no wedding on the 18th.
£7,000?
A small enough sum to secure your future happiness.
I shall never pay.
Just as you like.
And I shall put an end to your filthy occupation.
Oh, I think not. Neither you nor anyone.
Charles Augustus Milverton is the worst man in London, with a smiling face and a heart of marble.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, you describe him exactly.
Not I, my lady, a previous victim.
Another client of yours?
Yes.
Were you able to help her?
Him? No, I was not.
Oh.
But surely this Milverton must be within the grasp of the law.
I threatened him with the police, Dr. Watson.
You're a very brave young woman, Lady Eva.
Oh, I'm afraid not. It was an empty threat and he knew it.
Yes, none of his victims dare hit back, so he can squeeze and squeeze until he's drained them dry.
How does he get people's private letters?
From servants in the main.
He buys them, presumably.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, for enormous sums. I happen to know that he once paid a footman £700 for a note two lines in length.
700?
Yes, and the ruin of a noble family was the result. There are hundreds in this city who turn white at his name.
Well, I do not propose to give in to him.
What exactly do you want me to do? Well, much as I hate to say it, I'm powerless, unless you're prepared to allow a public scandal.
I cannot.
Well, then.
I want you to meet him on my behalf.
Certainly.
You may be able to discover some chink in his armour. That's possible, isn't it?
I must warn you, I think it's very unlikely.
Nonetheless, I wish you to try.
Of course.
And if the worst comes to the worst?
My lady?
I wish you to negotiate the best possible terms with that monster.
All at once he sent me round a note. Here's the very note, and this is what he wrote. Can't get away to marry you today.
Agatha.
Oh, sir, you startled me.
Did I now? Carry on, girl, carry on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
That's the way. Nearly finished, have you?
Yes, sir. Soon be nice and warm in here.
I am expecting a visitor. Tell Hopkins, would you? On your way out.
Yes, sir. Of course. Will you be needing anything else, sir?
No.
Very good, sir.
Oh, Agatha.
Sir?
That young man of yours kept you out very late last night.
I didn't know you... Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
See, it doesn't happen again. There's a good girl. I should be sorry to lose you.
Ah, splendid. Hampstead Heath on a crisp December morning. There really is nothing quite like it.
That I'm prepared to believe. Holmes, why are we here?
Oh, the fresh air, the invigorating walk.
Please, I'm the purveyor of fiction, remember?
Here.
Charles Augustus Milverton, agent. So?
The address.
Ah, but we're not calling on him, surely. I'd have thought Baker Street for a first meeting. Try to unsettle him a little.
Quite. Though I doubt he's easily unsettled anywhere.
Well, then?
We're here to observe. To examine the habitat of our snake before we pick up our forked stick. A man's house can be remarkably informative.
That's not a house. It's a fortress.
Informative.
Complete with guard.
Not perhaps informative enough.
No? Oh, surely it tells us a good deal about the man.
Such as?
Well, he's obviously wealthy.
We knew that already.
We knew that a great deal of money comes into his hands. Now we know that he husbands it carefully. Look at the grounds of this place. Immaculately kept. That means he has a sizable staff. It also means that he cares about such things. Show, appearance. It's not just a miser gloating over his hoard.
Excellent.
Do the servants know the source of their master's income, do you suppose?
No, he'd never allow it. It could give them a potential hold over him.
What, blackmail the...